I'm going to sit down so I won't be walking too much on y'all. I don't want to. Everybody seemed to sit over this side and slowly started migrating this way. So it was kind of funny. But so something been on my mind and a little bit for on my heart, and it kind of spirit from several weeks ago. During our student ministries for the last couple, about 3 months now, we've been actually working through the attributes of God. So the other day, couple weeks ago, I asked them, I said, raise your hand if you're a believer. Of course, every one of them raised their hand, as you expect. All right, for y'all, raise your hand if you're a believer. All right, that's what I expected. Everybody raised their hand, right? I'm a believer. What do you believe? All right. Okay. But let me ask this, okay? I agree with that. Do y'all believe that these walls are green? What if I believe they're black? How are you going to prove to me that your belief is correct and mine is not?
I would say the piano is black and the walls aren't the color of the piano.
You go. But you catch my point. And the reason why I asked that, because I asked the students that, and I said, all right, so why do you believe? And the biggest answer I got from some of them, I even heard this from some from adults earlier this week. They said, well, I go to church. Have y'all ever had that same experience before? I go to church. Okay, wait a minute. If you believe because you go to church, we got a problem, right? So the challenge was this. Well, the challenge was that's like, so let me ask you this. Is there a difference between belief and faith?
Yeah.
Absolutely there is. And here's the question I pose, and I'm going to pose it to you all. So if you're all believers, do we understand that Satan is also a believer? I mean, we can go back into Matthew 1. Let's go Matthew 1 real quick. We're going to dive through a few different scriptures here. It says in Matthew 1 says this. I'm just using one verse. This is actually when Jesus was tempted by Satan. But we're just going to look at verse 1. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Matthew 4, 1. There we go. I didn't finish it all. My apology. Matthew 4, 1. So then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, if Satan wasn't a believer, why in the world would he want to tempt Jesus? Job 2, 1 through 6. Oh, there we go. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from where have you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? He still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without reason. Then Satan answered to the Lord and said, skin for skin. All that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand. Only spare his life. And the reason why I look at that, it's because Satan actually came to God and asked permission to get after Job, and God told him, you just can't take his life. So do you think Satan knows who God is? He had to ask permission from God. James 2:19. Go to the New Testament just for a second. You believe that God, James 2, verse 19, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. So there's a proof right there throughout Scripture, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, that Satan is a believer. So the question I ask the students, and I'd be willing to ask everybody else, including throwing this at myself, is how does our belief look different than Satan's? And that what makes me go back to say, have we ever really thought about much about belief and faith? What is faith? Anybody know what faith is? We can go, I'll give you the scripture. Yeah, do what? Hebrews 11, 1. Yep. Things are not yet seen. So if you're not familiar with it, Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. But let's paint a picture here for a minute. So belief, we believe in something that we don't see, right? Faith is saying it's assurance and the conviction and what's not what we do not see. But what's the difference between faith and belief? You can go a little farther with this. And what I like it about what I ask this is because if we say there's a difference, what does faith look like? So we go back to James, you know, are y'all familiar? And I'm not using any scripture that nobody should be unfamiliar with. But James 2, 1 through 6. Sorry. It says this. It says, I mean, James 2, 14 through 19. My apology. Well, now I got to change my page again. I'm sorry. Once again. Got it right here. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now, through faith, we are saved, right? But let's paint this picture. Once again, let's start looking at this. Is faith something that we can just say, we go to church, we sit in a pew, because I go to church, because I listen to a sermon, we're saved? Correct, but also I want you to go to 1 John with me for a second, chapter 2, 1 through 6, and this is something I really enjoy about this. It says, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So we're talking about faith here. From the picture I'm getting here, from what Scripture says, I can say that I put my faith in God, but what does that look like? Does that mean just because I go to church? No, what it's talking about is, too, is our faith is dead without the work. So guess what? You got to have the proof behind your faith. You can say, I believe. You can say that I trust God as my Lord and Savior, but if we're not actually putting our feet to the ground and following his commandments, what proof is that of the truth that you say you have? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Now, those works, what you're talking about, that we're talking about, it's not the works for ourselves to make us look good, right? That's why it says to following the commandments of what Christ said. You know, what's the two commandments that God gave, that Jesus Christ gave us in the New Testament? Love God. Absolutely. you say you have faith in God, but you don't love people, and you don't love others, and you don't, how are we being truthful to God and saying that we're faithful? Now, do we screw up? Absolutely. Thank God for Jesus, right? That we can repent. But for a lot of us, and that's the thing, and I remember a few years back I preached on this, it's called cultural Christianity, and the thing is, that is still an ongoing thing, issue in the churches. Is that we're going to have a bunch of churches that are full of people that are sitting there listening to sermons every day, but they really never had a relationship with Christ. And the thing is, and the reason I brought this with the students, because that is a big issue right now, and it has been for a long time with our teenagers. Just doing some research, updated research, to give you an example, is the fact of 85% of graduates from high school leave the church after they graduate. 85%. And that is growing. Think about that. 85%. And the thing is, almost majority of them will say they believe. But where's their faith? And speaking of that, as a church, we call ourselves a group, a body full of believers, right? Are we trusting God to lead us to them, to build disciples like he calls us to do? The challenge is for us is to say, if we're faithful, I call us a faithful follower, is yes, we believe in Christ as our Lord and Savior. We put our faith in that, but the faith also comes with us willing to get out of our comfort zones to put to action what he teaches, what he has taught us, and what he has commanded us to do. If he calls us to love each other, guess what we need to be doing? Loving each other, because if we're not, that means we're not being obedient to Christ. And 1 John tells us clearly, through our obedience, following his commandments is how we're followers and how we are faithful. James 2, you look at it that way. Faith without works is dead. Now, for me, we can go into a lot of depth if you want to. I can't really do that with students, get even more depth with this. There's a lot more scriptures throughout. Wait a minute. Let's go look at the whole Bible, God's Word, from the beginning to the end. It talks about obedience. To whom? God. One of the things I like to remind my students is, I'm like, who wrote it? Who wrote the Bible? Who wrote it? God, right? God's Word. All right? Who's it about? God. Jesus, yeah. At the end of it, who should you see? God. For a lot of us, we take it as an instruction manual for us, how we should live our life. But technically, yes, you're correct to an extent. But it's not us living a good life or saying that. It's us living a life that shows whom? God. So if we go back and look at it as a church body, how, and as a church body as well as individual, how well are we doing at being a faithful follower? You know, that's a hard issue right here. For all of us. I like my things. I can't tell you. All of us are that way. There's things we like. There's things that we do that, you know, sometimes it can turn into an idol to take us away from God. But the thing is, God's calling us to, in obedience to him, is that we've got to put those things off to the side. Doesn't matter how well we like it. For myself, I'll give you an example of that. It's kind of funny because my first ministry at Gano Baptist Church, I was 100% in. Boom. And I am here too. Don't get me wrong. But I got so caught up, and I did not mean to do this. It was not my intentions. But I got so caught up in just ministry. Like, how in the world do you do that? Everything I did, it was about being at the church, doing ministry, doing this. And several months went by, and I remember my wife one night. I get home, had another meeting or whatever. And she made this statement. Well, it's finally good to see you. Ouch. And she had enough. She goes, number one, you got a wife. Yes, I admire you. You're doing ministry. You're at the church, but you can't allow the ministry to be the idol that takes you away from God as well as what He also calls me to be as a husband. And Satan had found a way to get in that, wedge himself in there, found that little crack to where I was so focused on this that no longer was I focused on God and as my taking care of my family. And the thing is, for all of us, and we call us a faithful follower, is the hardest thing with that is for us to keep our sights on whom? God. And to keep seeking Him and being obedient to Him. So often, all of us allow things to distract us. All of us do it, no matter what it is. A sporting event. That's my biggest thing right now, sporting events. Yay, thanks, parents. Thanks, sports. I love sports. Always have, always will. But right now in this country, sports are a big distraction. How can we call people to be a faithful follower of Christ if we're not willing to put Christ as a priority in our life and we're not willing to follow Him? So that's something we got to think about as a church, as an individual. Are you just a believer? Or are you a faithful follower? Is there a difference? Absolutely there is. So, the picture you get when you look at yourself, I think Scripture does a very good job of painting a picture of what a faithful follower is. It's just like ministry. In ministry, Jesus Christ sets the perfect example of how ministry should be done. Y'all realize that, right? He invented it. He created it. He should know what He's doing, correct? It's about, yes, does He teach in the temple? Absolutely. Does He preach? Absolutely. What else does He do? He meets the people where they are as well. And you know what He does when He does that? He keeps teaching. He keeps teaching them about God and the Word and helping them grow, not just here, but out there. And the fun part is that you think about it, His disciples, you talking about, are they faithful followers? Yeah. How often did they screw up? Quite often. But God, Jesus, especially with His disciples, constantly are pouring in with them, pouring into them, wherever they're at. And then what does He do? He sends them out. And then what happens after that as we go through Scripture? Go to the book of Acts. Go through all of Scripture. Go through the New Testament. What happens? Those disciples start reaching out. And He starts teaching. And they start bringing people to Christ. They're being obedient in His commands and what He commanded them to do. And He empowered them to do that. I mean, think about it. Was it just Jesus that healed people? No. He gave that power, that same power to disciples to go and heal people, to be obedient, listen to Him, and do it. This is what you go do, go do it. So the picture that He paints here is that, yes, there is belief involved with faith. You got to believe, right? But when it comes to faith as well with that, there's more than just saying, I believe. It's more than just saying, I go to church. It's actually getting your feet moving. It's a way of life, not a chore to do. It's obedience to Christ means that we're willing to be fully committed, give it all. And to get our feet moving and to go out. I mean, go back to the Great Commission. Anybody remember what that says? What did Jesus say? To go where? Go where? Go out. To all nations, yeah. Now you think about that, all nations. All right, now we look at the map. That's a whole lot of space to cover, right? But here's the beauty of it. There's believers and followers, faithful followers of Christ that are all over this world that are sharing the gospel. Is there ever enough? Absolutely not. That's what our job is too. So if we want to ask the question, is there a difference between belief and faith? Absolutely. Because can you say you're a believer, does your belief look different than Satan's? Saying I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, that's great. Prove it. Not for yourself, but for God. Now, usually I open it up and let kids ask questions or make comments and stuff. But something that the challenge I give is, what actions are you going to take? Believe me, I've beat myself up over the last year or so because, you know, get busy. And at one point in time, I was like, I kind of got away from reading my Bible for myself. Yeah, I would sit down and study and for lessons and things, but there's times that I forget to, I got to refuel for myself. Because if I don't take care of myself, how am I going to be able to take care of what God's calling me to do? And the thing is, for me to grow in faith, I got to do what? Spend time with God. Spend time in His Word. Spend time with Him in prayer. And be willing to, guess what? Step out of my comfort zone. Let me ask you all this, and I want you all to speak. When it comes to following God, all of us have fears. Right? What's your fear? I can give you a whole big list of what students say. They're not scared to share it. What's your fear?
Rejection.
Number one for students as well. I'm scared I'm going to lose a friend. What's another fear?
Afraid somebody's going to ask you a question that you can't answer.
Absolutely. Number two, there you go. See, y'all having the same thing as a teenager. Yeah, they're going to ask you a question I can't answer at that point in time. What's another? I'm sorry. Do what?
Stepping out of
your comfort zone. Absolutely. Number three. Hey, you're going right along with the students. What's another?
Nowadays, ridicule.
Ridicule. Absolutely. Give you an example of that. My daughter. Last year, she got told by a friend that she's a homophobe because her dad's a pastor. Had nothing to do with her. It's just because her dad's a pastor, so she's homophobic. I said, well, how'd you answer that? She goes, I just told her. I said, how can I be homophobic? I love you. You're still my friend. You've been over to my house. I'm still talking to you. So all these things, these fears that we're doing, who is it holding you back from sharing God's word? Absolutely it is. That's all of us. What do you do if you have somebody asks you a question if you don't know the answer? Exactly. Hey, I don't know right now. I will do some research. I promise I will follow this up. I will get back with you on that one. There is nothing wrong with that. Linda. Absolutely. Yeah, except there's nothing wrong with that. You know the fun part with ministry, you know, pastors are kind of looked at, you know, kind of put on their own pedestal. I'll say that. In a sense, by congregations and stuff. They think they, well, you all taking all the classes and you all spend time in it more than we do. Granted, that's more often true than not, but guess what? We're still learning every day too with that. I can read passages over and over again and get something God reveals, opens my eyes. I'm like, oh, I didn't look at it that way. Thank you, Lord. But what about your comfort zone? You don't like getting out of your comfort zone. What happens when you get comfortable?
Get complacent.
I'm as guilty as ever. That's the one thing with this pandemic. Right now, you know, I got believers, students that I'm after. I'm saying, how you can be call yourself a believer or a faithful follower of Christ if you're not willing to be with the body? I'm after students now because they're too busy sitting down in their basement playing video games. You think about how it's impacted adults through this pandemic. This pandemic has been one of the worst things that we have got a lot of people very complacent. Oh, I can watch it on Facebook. I can stay in my pajamas. I don't have to get dressed up.
I think our sharing the gospel program that we did affected your comfort zone because you didn't know who was coming to the door.
Absolutely. Now, that's different for others, right? If you're a people person, you ate it up. I did. I enjoyed it. I'm a people person. Hey, I don't knock on anybody's door.
It depends on the reaction you got.
I've got some interesting reactions. Yeah. But at the same...
And some had smell of marijuana coming out.
No, absolutely. I've been there. Hey. Well, but the thing is are you willing to go out? Are you willing to go out? That's the big thing. Are you willing to put aside and say, no, God, I got to be obedient. You call us to go out. Whether that means I call somebody to go with me or wherever I'm at. And the thing is, and something I always love, and I look at it this way, I always take my in-laws as an example. I remember when they first came and talked to Amy and I and Adam, Amy's brother, about moving into Bourbon Heights. Our first thought was like, have you lost your mind? Why? You're fine. Of course, they had their reasons, and I understood that. But now that I look at it more, which it's their business, and we're fine with that, that's kind of their Jerusalem, in a sense, as I call it. It's amazing to watch them go every day, walk around Bourbon Heights, meeting people, greeting people. They have a list of cookies for every single, just about every single person in that place. They know who needs sugar-free. They know who's gluten-free. And it's amazing to watch them do that. And the thing is, I think about it this way, even for myself, if I call myself a faithful follower, guess what your Jerusalem is? Whatever's around you where you're at. You know, for this church, as a church body, we're sitting right here. When's the last time y'all seen a line standing outside these doors waiting for people to come in? My lifetime, I've never seen it. My lifetime, I've never seen that. But what does God call us to do? If we're going to be faithful and obedient, is to go out. Incredible lady. Yeah.
But the
But we're, you know, does anybody else have somebody in their life that they looked at that maybe had a big role that God put in your life to help get you where you're at now in your relationship with them? Was there anybody else? Right.
That's the most important focus of our life.
But that's what's interesting when we look at that. When those people that we think of in our life that may have played a role in helping us, introducing us to Christ, allow the conviction in Christ to do his thing with us, it wasn't because they sat still. It's because they was moving their feet. Absolutely.
I have one that I think Claire Van Doren was the epitome. I mean, she taught me everything about the Bible and, mm-hmm. I mean, the important role of Sunday school teachers, we should put them on. I mean, just Jesus uses them every Sunday. And what an impact.
Absolutely. I'll give you an example, a little testimony myself, too, a little bit. Lady over at First Baptist Church, when I started going to church over there when I met with Amy, I didn't go because of it was church. I went because of a girl. I'll be the first one to tell you. That's why I went to church. She invited me. Okay, you're cute. All right. But there's a lady there, and I mean, Miss Pribble. Some of y'all may know her. Love her dearly. She passed away last year, I believe. But I'll never forget it. She probably scared the snot out of me the very first time I stepped into church. I walked in and she approached up to me. I had no idea who she was. I'm new to this place. I don't know. I knew my great-grandmother because she went there. And she looked at me and she goes, "Do you know Jesus?" I had no idea what she was talking about. "What are you talking about?" "Well, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to go to hell." Of course, I was like, "All right, you scary lady. I'm backing away." But here's the fun part with that, the awesome part. From that day forward, every time I was at that church, she made sure she came over and said something to me and talked to me. She took the time to come over and introduce myself. And through that, she built a relationship with me where there was many times I got to, she used to share a gospel conversation. We jumped right into it. That's just one person in my life that did that with me in my life. And the thing is what the picture that Scripture tells us is, we got to stop being just a bunch of believers, but start being faithful followers. That means we got to get our feet moving for the gospel. Exactly. And here's the funny part. You're out here, right? That means your feet work and your legs work. Now, not all of us may not work as well as others. But that means God has still got a purpose for you and wants to use you somehow. And he will open those doors for you.
It's magnificent that we get to come together as a church body to worship and to learn together on a Sunday morning and Sunday night and a Wednesday night. But if we're not applying it in between those Sundays, what are we doing? Remember James 2. Faith without works is what? Dead. And that's a challenge for all of us here. What can we do as an individual? What can we do as a body of believers that we can get our feet and our bodies actively moving for Christ into sharing and being obedient to Him and going out into a community? You realize communities don't change until people go out and start moving, right? Here's one of the coolest things that's happened this past week for us, for me at least, and for students. We've had a club at Bourbon County School Systems for several years now. The pandemic pretty much just with that for a while. It's going now up and strong again. Ben Burke, who is the youth pastor over at First Baptist Church, and I are very close, we both got a message from Parish School System. Say, hey, we got two teachers that are interested in getting this club started. I've been trying to get into Parish for over 3 years, 4 years, just to get this club started. But they had two teachers that are believers, that are faithful servants. They're saying, no, these kids need to hear the gospel. And they were willing to step out of their comfort zone and say, hey, can y'all come meet with us when you get this club going here? You want to talk about a big amen, hallelujah, that Ben and I had. Because we had been working for several years. And all we was hoping for and praying for was a couple of teachers that would be willing to step out of their comfort zone and say, hey, God is more important. Salvation of these students is more important than the sport, is more important than classes, is more important than everything else that's going on. So, yes, we want to get something like this started. Now, we'll see what God does with it. But we got to move our feet to get it going. And it's no different here. We got ministries we have several ministries in this church. But you realize ministry doesn't really happen that much until the people get their feet moving. You allow God to use you, to direct you, to guide you. And the thing is, don't allow excuses to get in your way. I understand, believe me. Not everybody is in great health. We all have our issues. But are we relying on those things to stop us from being the faithful servant, the faithful follower, and saying, I just can't do that? God, if you can move and you're breathing, God's got a purpose. I don't doubt that. And the thing is, if you're saying, well, I put my time in, you need to, for myself, you got to prove to me where retirement's at in the Bible. I've never seen it yet. Until when? Good Lord calls you home. So is there a difference? Absolutely. Between belief and faith. But the challenge is asking ourselves, are we faithful to God in obedience to Him? Because Scripture tells us very clearly that how do you know what's faithfulness look like? Through obedience to His commands. And the thing is, pretty simple, right? It's pretty clear. It's not gray. So what's the challenge? The challenge is this: as a church body, as individuals, let's take a look at ourselves. Are we serving God the way we can? Are we really looking at our faith? Are we comfortable with saying, oh, I'm a believer, I'll just sit here in a pew? Or do I want to say, I want to be a faithful servant that's willing to go out and get your feet moving and make it, let it be a part, way of life for you, that you're living for Christ and be an example of Christ to others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that you've given me just to be able to share what's on my heart. And Father God, just thank you for your word. Father, you made it clear very clearly on how we need to be faithful servants to you. Father, that you need to be the priority to us. But Lord, in all of us here, we're failures. I'll tell you that. You know that. But Father God, I pray for all of us in here that we're willing to be repent and we're willing to put our focus back on you, Father God, that we can seek your will, your presence in our life, that the Holy Spirit is just moving. And Father, I just pray, Lord, for all of us here that we understand that you have a bigger purpose for us than what we do. Father, that you're putting people around us every day that needs to hear the gospel. Father, no matter where we're at, help us to see that wherever we're at, that's the Jerusalem you put in front of us to share your word. It doesn't matter the age, but they still got to hear the gospel. Father God, I pray for all of us here, Lord, for the fears that we have. All of us have them. That we can put those aside, that we quit allowing Satan to tell us that we can't. Because through you, you've already told us that we can. And that you will work through us and lead us and guide us. I just pray, God, as a church for us, Lord, that we turn and look at you and that we come to keep moving forward, seeking your presence and your will, but also being a light and example of you to a lost world. Father God, I just thank you once again just for the privilege, Lord, to serve in your ministry. And Father God, not just as a pastor, but just as a faithful servant. Father, for all of us here are called to go out. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you just bless us. I pray, God, that you just be with the prayer requests that we have, Lord, that we have not said, but for Lord, we all have them. Whether it's healing, whether it's comfort. But God, maybe we need some peace. Father, I just pray, Lord, that we just come to you and seek you fully in our lives. For we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.